Ignorance. It's one of those characteristics that, if used wrong, could be extremely dangerous. And today, there's an epidemic of ignorance. And not all ignorance is something that accidentally happens. I know some people like to think, I tried and I just didn't know. But it's much more than that. Ignorance is something that we really have control over, believe it or not. Ignorance means lack of knowledge or understanding. Doesn't mean you don't know. It can also mean you know wrong. 1 Peter 1, 14 through 16 says, as obedient children, and he starts with that, and that kind of gives us a hint of what we are responsible for doing. My job is to get to know what he has to say and what he wants me to do, and so on and so forth, is to search him. Do you understand that? So as obedient children, he tells us to do something here. He says, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Do you understand that? So there was a time before Christ, who is the truth, who is the way, who is the life, when we didn't have him, and what we were living in was ignorance. We didn't know like we really should have known. Verse 15 says, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. You may say, well, what does that have to do with ignorance? When I just respond based as he says, following what he tells me to do, then I'm living in obedience, which means I'm living in truth, which means I'm not living in ignorance. You see, ignorance will be a product flaw of two processes. The giving of the message, if you either by not giving it or giving it incorrectly, in other words, if I don't get the message at all, or when I get it, it's either wrong message or just part of the message or incorrectly, or the receiving of the message. That's either not receiving it or accepting faulty information. Once again, that's not receiving it at all. And so you can go somewhere and people come to church and you see it happen all the time and they're just there, but they're not receiving the message. They're not paying attention, they're distracted, whatever, or accepting faulty information. Sometimes people go look for the truth that they want to hear. This is very common today. We call everything fake or we call everything wrong or whatever when it doesn't fit what we want it to say, and we cling on to those things if it does fit what we want to say. Now let's get something straight. There is a place for ignorance as part of God's will. He shows in Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, he says, the secret things belong to our Lord, our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. What he's saying here is there's going to be some things God's going to do, and his word will explain exactly what he did and why. Then there's a lot of other things God's going to do, and you have no idea what he's doing and why, but you just know he's doing it. And he's saying those secret things that he does not tell us, those are for him. So we just have to be in ignorance with that and trust him. Now, even in that, you're not in ignorance, you're just ignorant to that fact. But that ignorance of what you don't know is where you just take what he said and say, got it. God handles things in certain ways that we just don't get, but we have to go, I trust you. But when ignorance is used wrong, ignorance is a dangerous choice. And if you notice, I said choice. It says in Hosea 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. A lot of people read this and we like to hear that part and it stops there because we're saying, man, these poor people are being destroyed because they don't know and we need to get the word to them because they don't know. But you got to read the rest of it. It continues on to say, because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priests. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children. The key he's showing here is I'm going to offer it. But what's happening is you're rejecting it. There's times where we know what the word says and we still do otherwise. There's times we're not searching what the word says. There's times we just receive what somebody says and don't check them. All of this is rejecting knowledge because we know the knowledge comes from his word. But when I allow other avenues and other resources to get in the way of me receiving the truth, that's my fault. And he also said, because you have ignored the law of your God. We know what the Bible says in so many cases, and we know we're supposed to search the Bible for these cases, but at times we just do what we want. That's ignoring. We set ourselves up. Very dangerous. Now, the unspiritual are automatically ignorant. The Bible lets us know this in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. And we have to understand that. That's why he said, when we read in 1 Peter, when you lived in ignorance. He shows in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. Okay, now it just sounds like he's being, where he's ignoring it and where he's stopping it. But no, it goes on and says, for they are foolishness to him. See, the problem is he's limited something in order for him to grasp true knowledge, true understanding. In other words, when he hears it, it's foolishness to him. And watch what it says. And it says he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. What he's letting you know is without the Spirit, he has no access to truth. Because God is truth. Christ is truth. So when he sees truth, it'll be foolishness to him. What's happening to, once again, either people that say they're Christians or Christians that are still walking by sight, it's still foolishness to them. Because you're trying to be a Christian spiritually, and you're still trying to understand things through your flesh, through your sight, through your understanding, and you can't understand it, as the Bible said. Without the Spirit, we're missing that interpreter. So you're automatically ignorant. It's like going to another country that you have no idea what the language is, and you are just going to be so lost. Unfortunately, ignorance is bliss in many cases. And the Bible actually shows that. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 18, it says, for with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. I've had people have said that in the teachings that I try to give you all the information that the Bible is saying. And I've had people who were discouraged at what they heard only because it didn't fit their sight or their desired outcome. They didn't like the answers that the Bible says, and they love the fairy tales that they hear, and they want to cling on to those. So in other words, I'd rather be ignorant and think things are going to go the way I want them to instead of walking in knowledge that God provides for me. And once again, we then live in rejecting knowledge. But he's being honest. With wisdom come much sorrow. I get that. And more knowledge, more grief. The stuff you know isn't the most desirable, the Bible shows us. And this is why people reject it. So sometimes it's better not to know how we play it. But when you reject it, you're automatically a fool. The Bible defines what a fool is in many cases, okay, and gives us the characteristics of a fool. And this is one of them. When we reject that understanding, Proverbs 18:2 shows that a fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. And this is so common, even in the church. It is something that shouldn't be. You see, a Christian wants to know what God has to say about this. A fool wants to tell you what they feel about this. A fool is caught up in being right. A wise person wants to know and live within what God says. They'll be quick to go, what does God say about this? A fool's just caught up on, no, I think I'm right. We get caught up in being a fool because we keep rejecting knowledge when God offers it to us freely. You see, most ignorance is due to men hardening their hearts. Ephesians 4, 17 through 19 says, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. As we've seen earlier, they live in ignorance. And in their ignorance, it says in the futility of their thinking. Okay, so it's basically saying the worthlessness of their thinking. You watch people who are not Christians, and man, I'm just looking around. You can see it on any video out there and how people come down and they have these philosophies about life. And to them, they're brilliant. And they try to tell you, and this is how I'm going to live, and it's so great, and so on and so forth. And he's saying it's worthless. He says they are darkened in their understanding and separate from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. They're stubborn, stuck in what they want, how they see it, not searching for what God says. Verse 19 says, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality. so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. So they lost the sense of guiding, going towards truth, and now they're living for feeling. Did you catch that? So instead of, you know, recognizing I have to get truth, they go after this feels right. And then they go after every kind of thing that has nothing to do with God, as long as it fits the what I feel, and then they want more. And then it becomes this vicious cycle in which we grow, we build a philosophy, and this is where the world is today. There are no worldly philosophies, politics, guides in life that are correct. They all have some sort of guidance that people desire and they'll chase after. But it's not the one way, the way. See, ignorance at times is due to only getting half the story. That's a big part of ignorance. Even and especially for those who are in church, we kind of get a partial or half of what the Bible says, and that half is what we use and live upon, and we totally ignore the other half. We've seen Jesus, where Satan tried to do this to Jesus in a certain way, and we should respond the way Jesus did here in Matthew 4, 5 through 7. It says, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. That is in the Bible. It's in Psalm 92. The thing about it is, God, what Jesus didn't say to him was, that's not in the Bible, or you misinterpreted it, or this is wrong. No, he just said, it is also written. He was like, oh yeah, but let me tell you what else is in the Bible. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. You have a lot of what we call scripture Christians, in which they take a scripture to support them instead of searching the scripture to soundly get God. Do you get it? You get part of it. A person asked me that a while back. Why are there so many divisions in the Christian church? It's because churches will grab scripture here, scripture there, and ignore the other scriptures. And then we'll give that people, this is my answer now. This is all I need. I'm giving you this answer. And instead of people going, but what about this one over here? We go, amen. And we join that church. And somebody else gets the same thing. They join that church. And we're skipping stuff all over the place. Instead of us going, but wait, what about this other verse? Isn't it also written? And what you'll see is the Bible doesn't contradict. It complements. It helps us to get a full understanding of a topic. And that's what we're responsible for doing. Now, when we don't live being alert, we can be infected by ignorance of false teaching, and it will spread. Jesus made that very clear. He says in Galatians 5, 7 through 9, you were running a good race, when he's talking to the Galatians. He says, who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? So this is where the wrong teaching comes in. And if I'm either charmed, if I'm impressed, if my flesh is in any way a decision maker in my life, I am in trouble. Because one way or the other, I'm going to be seduced. It's going to grab my attention. And that's why he asks, who did this to you guys? He says in verse 8, that kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. In other words, Christ doesn't do that type of misleading. And that's why he says here, a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. Now, that's an important part right there, because sometimes people will read the Bible and they'll be diligent to the word, but then they get this other stuff. When I say this other stuff, it could be on the internet, it could be from books, it could be from people they hang around, and they're not being diligent enough or reverent enough that they don't allow that to affect them. They'll see it and somehow they'll take that and they'll add it now to the truth, and you just corrupted it. And this is why Paul is saying this to the Galatians. What just happened to you guys? You know what I mean? Now you're not obeying the truth. You're doing this other stuff. Well, I heard a minister say. Well, I read a book that said. Well, I heard a song that told me. Instead of, what did God say? And he's saying, it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much. It works through the whole batch of dough. Now, we must beware of false teachers that teach ignorance. I mean, this is something we got to make sure we're focused on, our protection against them. Okay. 2 Peter 2, verse 12 says, but these men blaspheme in matters they do not understand. They are like brute beasts creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed, and like beasts, they too will perish. Colossians 2, 18 through 19 goes on and explains some more about that. You know what I mean? And we get an understanding of that. We're going to read that next. But understand this, when we get a guidance about these false teachers, you'd be surprised how many people get caught in. I grew up in a church in which they had a lot on, you know, spirituality, in which they had people come in and they were experts on spirituality and demonology and all that other stuff. And they would tell us how to protect ourselves and how to deal with a demon and what you do with it. And it was one of the most fascinating classes until I asked one question. Hey, all this information, where are you getting it from? God told me. No, where is it at in the Bible? Now, he had a verse here and a verse there that he could add to his thing, but most of the stuff he was saying was him saying God gave it to him. Now, here's the problem. How do I know he was right? See, the Bible tells us to test the spirits. We're going to talk about that, but the Bible tells us to test the spirits. How can I test it when he's telling me stuff that doesn't come out of the thing I'm testing it with? And that's the word of God. And like he shown, he says, these men blaspheme in matters they do not understand. Some of the stuff he was saying for people to do in spiritual situations doesn't realize how dangerous that was. You understand that? He doesn't recognize that in that ignorance, I could really put myself in danger. See, this kind of reminds me of the story of the sons of Sceva in Acts 19. Right. And if y'all remember that, and one thing that was weird in this in that story was these Jews were going around and how it was showing that the Jews were going around and they saw what Paul and them were doing when they were getting the demon possessed people and they were freeing them. And it let us know that, you know, some Jews who went around, they were doing the same thing. And they were trying to invoke the same name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. And so, and it kind of implied that it, some of it sometimes worked, okay? I guess it was less, not as strong or not as dangerous demons. But it got to this one point where it said the seven sons of Sceva, Jewish chief priests, were doing this. And, you know, they were going around doing the same thing. But one day, the evil spirit answered them. And it said that, they said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And then it beat the man bleeding and naked. Beat the men, beat them out of their clothes and naked. I mean, it's a dangerous thing that happened to them because of their ignorance. They followed a teaching. And you got a lot of people doing that today in which you'll see them come out and they're speaking as if they're experts on something that they do not understand. Like you said, they are like brute beasts, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed. Like beasts, they too will perish. The main reason we know a man against a lion would destroy us. But the reason why we're stronger than lions is because we're smarter than them, for the most part. They're just going to attack. Do you understand? They react out of instinct. They see us, they come after us. We sneak up on them, we shoot them, we trap them, we do all this other stuff. You understand this? You don't see lions having men in zoos or whatever, but you have men and have lions in zoos, other than when men aren't being bright. But do you see where this is going here? We allow this false teaching and all this other stuff to come in. You see, how we beware of false teachers, we must first be careful not to be led away by man's unsubstantiated stories. It says in Colossians 2, 18 through 19, do not let, so this is my choice, anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. And watch what he says here. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. This person that was teaching us demonology, all these stories he was telling us was all his stories. I had no idea if they were true. They were fascinating. I'd never seen any of them, but they were fascinating. But majority of stuff he was saying, I couldn't find in the Bible. So what do I do? And it told us, don't allow yourself to be disqualified in this. He says, do not let anyone who delights in false humility. You understand that? You see, it is our responsibility not to be pulled into ignorance. Colossians 2:8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive, watch this, through hollow and deceptive philosophies. What makes it hollow and deceptive? There is no substance. There's absolutely no substance to it. You won't find it in God's word. There's nothing there. And also, which depends on human tradition, and watch this, and the basic principle of this world, rather than on Christ. In other words, it'll follow what man does and how man sees it, what man thinks is right, and it'll follow what the world knows. Basic principles of the world. If you go back, one thing you'll see in history, some of the things that man followed is only up to the point for what man knew. Men were experts until man learned something newer, and then those experts were no longer experts. Within, why are we calling them experts? Because if they were experts, they would know it all. Do you get this? He's saying, rather than on Christ. That's going to be it. When it comes to how I have to deal with spirituality, how I have to deal with my walk, all of it has to come from Christ. Any teacher has to teach me Christ, period. Not their interpretation of God telling them something on the side. Because I don't know. I'm supposed to test the spirits. You're supposed to test the spirits. So let me ask the question. What must we do to avoid the path of ignorance? Excellent question. First, we must realize there is only one truth. In John 14, 5 through 6, it says, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Excellent question. And that question actually is covering more than just this one question he's asking. This what Jesus is saying is covering everything. And that's why the word the is so important in here. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. He didn't say I am a way. He didn't say I provide some ways. He said the way, the truth, the life. He says no one comes to the Father except through me. That's it. There are no other options. I think through our sentimental feelings and what we want out of it, we usually want more options. That's just human nature. But when I recognize there is only one way, the only time I'm convinced to follow what somebody is saying is when it's completely in sound doctrine. That'll save you every time. Other than that, I'm kind of taking it with a grain of salt. But you got some, man. You say the right words. They'll have it all written down. They'll take your instructions and they're following this stuff, usually with disastrous results. So we got to realize there is only one truth. Jesus showed us that. Secondly, it's not the intelligent that will guide us out of ignorance, but those that soundly teach the word of God. Now, what do I mean by that? The church has brought in some brilliant people. That was the beginning of the downfall of the church, because their brilliance was based on the world, as God showed, which is futile, which is worthless. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21 says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him. If the world was so wise, he's saying, it would know God instantly. But the world's wisdom, the world's intelligence keeps trying to force its way around God. It goes out of its way to prove there is no God, and it keeps coming back to prove there is, but it won't acknowledge that. That's why he says God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. When we preach this, it makes no sense. In fact, like you said, some people are saying, why are you doing that? It's not just foolish by the people who are preaching it ignorantly. But when we preach this pure word of God, people will go, that makes no sense. That's why we walk by faith. And that's why few find it. Thirdly, we must test the teachers. Test the teachers. 1 John 4, 1 to 3 says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. And we're going to see how, but let me show you this. So in other words, a teacher comes to me. I don't care what they tell me, degrees they have. I don't care tell me what they've gone through. You get some people, they tell you a good story. You're gone. You're caught. You're like, that's true. Now, how do you know it's true? He just told you what to do here. He says to test them. And he says, this is how you can recognize the spirit of God. Now, right now he's giving us the answer. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Now, you may say, so as long as they say Jesus came here, they're right. No, that's not what it means.
It says acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. That word acknowledge means that they're in acceptance with. So what that means is, remember, if Jesus came in the flesh, the whole New Testament is the new foundation, is what we're following. And they're going to support it using that. They're not going to go against it. They're not going to add to it. And they're not going to take away from it. Because in that New Testament, which he came in the flesh to preach and to allow to happen afterwards, when we acknowledge that, he's the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But he says, but every spirit that does not acknowledge, he didn't just say, Jesus, acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even is now in the world. So they'll say stuff about Christ, but they won't accept Christ as Christ. So you go to the thing, and simply put, it's saying, you got to show me that in the Bible. Not this fantastical story of something that happened to somebody and then I just followed them. No, it's got to be, you got to show me that in the Bible. You see, we must test everything. So you're testing the teachers, but then take everything that they give you. And 1 Thessalonians 5:21 through 22 says, test everything, hold on to the good, avoid every kind of evil. See, I don't raise my kids in avoidance. I got to train them so they understand what to avoid. See the difference? I have to train them. You have to train them as parents so they understand when it's bad, stay away. When it's good, hold on to it. Do you understand this? We get people right now that keep dabbling in bad because I don't think we've trained them. Hopefully you realize that ignorance isn't this me playing the victim and I really didn't know and I really wanted to and I'm so confused. Ignorance is something that I allow to happen because God gives me full access to the knowledge that I need. Ignorance is one of the things that is hindering and hurting our knowledge of the Word of God. So let us stop being ignorant and be in the know of God. Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, once again, thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much, dear Lord, for offering us knowledge, access away from ignorance. Help us to walk in that way and do what we need to, dear Lord, in order to glorify you in every way. Dear God, we ask for continual blessings and guidance on those who have allowed themselves to be lost. Help us to be patiently, to patiently minister and to talk to them, but help us not to allow ourselves to go astray. With all that you provide for us, let's take advantage and grab what your word is giving us. Please hold us ministers responsible and for making sure we're giving the word in the way that you would have us give in its purest form as your word tells us. We want to walk in your ways, dear Lord, totally representing you with no division in the body. Help us, dear Lord, to do what we need to in order for that to happen. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we say, Amen.